The most important person in the whole wide world
is you, and you hardly even know you.
The most important person in the whole wide world
is you. Come on, we'll show you.
Let's find out more about the things you feel and do,
'cause you're the most important person in the world to you.
Hello, 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 and welcome to One for All is Love with Sonia Spirit. And I am Sonia Spirit. And happy hump day. Today is August 19th, Wednesday, of course. And today's show is titled Pay Attention. Your mind is where magic is made. Okay. And it's also our 1 year anniversary here at One for All is Love. It's our anniversary. Anniversary. Okay, so today we are going to talk about the mind. But we have a caller waiting. And of course, me being the ever curious Gemini, let's see what's on our caller's mind.
Oh, hi. Yeah, I just tuned in to your show.
Hello.
My name's Lisa.
Nice to meet you, Lisa. How
nice
are you
to
today?
Meet you. What's your first? Good. What's your first name again?
I am Sonia.
Oh, Sonia. Yeah. So
yes,
I just tuned in. I didn't know if you're doing readings or more like talking about things, or I wasn't sure. So that's where I'm at.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. No, I'm not doing readings, but I will talk about things. So is there something
okay
on your mind, or were you looking for more so a reading?
No, like, you know, if I could have a reading. Do you do readings too, or no?
No, ma'am, I don't do readings.
No. So, like, that's fine. I wanted to listen to the subject. It sounded interesting, so I'll just listen.
Okay. All right. Excellent. Then you listen, and I will continue.
Thanks.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So welcome, Lisa, and everyone else who is out there listening. Welcome to One for All is Love. And like I said, today's subject is pay attention. Your mind is where magic is made. And why is your mind is where magic is made? Because that's where the power of God lies. Our mind is our creator, okay? Now, with humans, excuse me, and this isn't stuff I'm making up. This is all universal laws. So there are seven primary universal laws, but there is really a lot of universal laws. But the seven primary, everything else falls underneath those. So with the universal laws, this is actually how our planet, our atmosphere, our universe, our whatever, galaxy, solar system, whatever the largest thing is. I would suspect that universe is the largest thing, that it means one song. Okay. But so yeah, these laws govern all everywhere. They permeate everything, okay? So there are seven primary laws. The first three are immutable, which means that I don't want to say that it applies to God as well as us, because God is the source of the system. So God is the source of the laws. But anyway, but they're immutable. They cannot be changed or manipulated. Okay. So the first three, of course, the first one is all is mind. Okay. Which basically means that God is consciousness. That's the short version. Okay. And we all have a mind. Okay. As human beings. So that put us in more of a godly type state. But that depends on if we know how to use it or not. So just like God's mind, well, God doesn't have a body. Okay. God's body is everything, and it's everything, you know, it's all inclusive. All right. But the power of God, God's mind, is to create, to manifest, to emanate, to expand. Okay. God is always doing that. God is forever expressing itself. Okay, this is an ongoing process. So God is all about change. Okay, God is the original change agent. Okay. So, and basically what that is saying is that mind is the source of all creativity. God is the source of everything, all life, all which exists, okay, all which is dead or alive. Everything comes from one source, and that is God. And everything is energy. So, yes, God, too, is energy, but God is an infinitely intelligent energy. And remember now, we can't possibly fathom all that there is to understand or know about God. So you have to bear that in mind as well. But expand your mind as far as you can, okay, to infinite possibilities, especially when it comes to the beauty or greatness or majesty of something, okay? All right, so anyway, so the first one is basically the mind is what's creative. Okay, now for God, it is the mind, the all is mind. For humans, it's slightly different. The mind is creative, but it's not the only component. For humans, because we fall under the law number four, which is the law of polarity, but I'm just going to touch on it base, which means that everything, there's two sides to everything. So for man, of course, we're basically two-sided, so to speak. We are physical and we are spiritual. Okay, so as a result, our creativity process is a two-pronged effort. It is our mental thought aligned or supported or contained by a matching emotion or feeling. So when the thought and the feeling are aligned or on the same page, then manifestation occurs, transformation of energy occurs, okay? And sometimes it's instantly and sometimes there is a delay, okay? Most often there is a delay, but there it doesn't necessarily have to be one. So don't get fixated with that in your mind, because if nothing else, always remember all things are possible. Okay? There's a reason why we say God is limitless, that the intelligence is infinite, because everything potentially exists. Whatever you can entertain in your mind, it already exists. Okay? And when I say it already exists, if you think of it, it already exists in idea and concept. An energy form, okay? So it already exists now. But now let's define exist. For most humans, of course, we think of existing as something tangible, something that we can feel or see or smell or taste or expend, something that we can utilize, you know. Excuse me. So, but that, you know, that's not always the case. Oh, I lost my train of thought. But okay, so, but with humans, it is a two-pronged effort to create. Okay, so that's still law number one. So law number one is all is mind, all being God. Okay, so God is mind, God is consciousness. God is this infinite, intelligent, creative consciousness that we could not even begin to understand, which is all composed of energy. Everything is composed of energy, including us. If how dense it is, or how loosely connected it is, depends on its definition. What is its makeup? I mean, what is its concept? Its blueprint. So when I was saying before about if you think it, it already exists. If you think of it in your mind, then you already have conceptualized that the concept exists. The rest is just the manifestation process, okay? And if you can hold that thought in your mind and it has a matching supportive feeling, good, bad, or indifferent, just matching, a matching supportive feeling, then those two energies begin transforming one another to manifest what it is that you conceptualized, okay? So it already exists. Now, it may not exist in your hand, but if it exists in your head, it's not a long journey to exist in your hand. As long as there are no impediments preventing manifestation, which goes back to the mind and the feelings being in agreement. You may think you want to be a millionaire, but you may feel like money is the root of all evil. Those two do not match. Those two definitions do not match. Those two concepts do not match. Even though both of them are referring to money, they do not match because one is a desire to have, and the second one is repulsing. Okay, you are repulsing. You are repelling that energy. So on the one hand, you're attracting, and on the other hand, you are repelling. So you see that there's a conflict. There will not be any manifestation because they are not in agreement. Okay? All right. So your thoughts and your feelings have to match. And sometimes that's easy and sometimes that's not, because we may not know that we feel a certain way about things. But that's when you truly have to start examining yourself. And not just yourself, but also your family or the environments in which you were raised, because those have impressed upon you a lot of the values or characteristics that you carry today, whether you're cognizant of them or not. Okay? Your parents, if they raised you, have instilled in you a lot of their own beliefs and values. Some of them are great. Some of them are not. You know, there were parents that grew up in an era where children should be seen and not heard. That's so sad, because that's stunting creativity and growth. But that is for that era, that was the best way for them to deal with children. Of course, back then, children were also seen as another source of labor. Whereas now, you know, they're sources of pride and joy, and people live vicariously through them. Now, I'm not saying these things are healthy. I'm just saying that this is what it has become. Okay, so, you know, bear that in mind as well. Okay, so the mind is where the magic happens. However, there's more to it than that. So the second universal law is the law of correspondence, which means that everything is related. Everything is connected. As above, so below. As within, so without. As without, so within. As below, so above. There is a correspondence, okay? So what happens in one realm is reflected in the other. Just like I was saying before, correspondence. Here's another example of correspondence. If you think of what's a majigget, okay, conceptually, then it already exists on one plane. It already exists on the spiritual plane, or the I don't want to say the formative plane because I don't think that's correct, but it exists on, we'll say, the spiritual plane for now, because that's where ideas are birthed. That's where concepts are born or created or emanated, or whatever word that you would like to use for develop or build or grow. Okay. So it already exists on that level now with the, for humans, you know, if you have nothing resisting it, then it will manifest physically. Okay. Now, some things just happen automatically. It doesn't require a whole lot of effort from you. And other things, in order for it to manifest, you will absolutely have to be the driving force to make it come to fruition. However, it's not hard or burdensome. It's just it will require your effort in order for it to come to fruition. And that's what you have to understand. There is no one way to do anything, regardless of what the different religions state. Okay, there are many paths, many routes, many ways to get to know yourself, to know God, to submit your will to God, and understanding God. There are many ways of getting to know God, but the primary way is to pay attention. to pay attention. Let me give you a quick example before I go on with universal laws. So last Wednesday, you know, I was reading my book, New Era Community, and it was it wasn't right before the show, but it was earlier that morning. And so the book is about community. It's also, like I said, in preparation for, or, you know, in accordance with studying for the for studying Kabbalah. And I had said to myself as I was reading it, and this is the third text in this particular series, but I had said to myself, oh, I would love to be a part of, or, you know, yeah, a self-healing community, you know, just in which, because self-healing, it's a beautiful thing, but it does require effort. And it's almost like, you know, I mean, so self-healing, being on your spiritual path, whatever you want to call it, path working, on the journey, whatever, you know, you can do it solo. It can be done solo. However, if you have company, that is even better, especially like-minded company, not someone that you've converted and coerced or something like that. Being surrounded by like-minded people or like-minded energies or like energies. So anyway, getting back to last Wednesday, so I was talking about the self-help community, and I really would like to get involved with one of those. And I gave it some more thought, but that was it. You know, I did give it some thought because I, you know, trying to think about what I could do or how I could do. And of course, the thought ended up fleeting because anyway, so in and out. Well, by Sunday, now mind you, this was last Wednesday. By Sunday, I received a text from a friend who sent me a picture of a book and asked me if I had the book. And I was like, no, I don't have that book. And I was like, are you reading it? And she was like, yes. She's like, a few of us are, and we're looking for another person so we can create a sacred circle. And then I said, oh, I would love to be a part of a sacred circle, because I'm thinking, you know, hey, this is just what I asked for, you know, the self-help, self-healing community. Maybe this is along those lines. So she was like, great. She's like, and we thought since this is your area of expertise, you could lead the group. Now, mind you, I've never been so duped and flattered at the same time. But yes, I didn't feel duped. But it was funny because it started out, do you have the book? And me being, you know, a quintessential Gemini, no, but hey, I'll get it. I want to be a part. I don't want to look, fear of missing out. At the end of the day, it's what I asked for. So there are a group of young ladies who have this text, and we're going over the material, and I've never read it before, so I'm excited as well. And it is like path work, and the title of the book is Sacred Woman, A Guide to Healing the Feminine Body, Mind, and Spirit by Queen Afua. I'm not sure how to pronounce her last name, Afua. A-F-U-A. Anyway, so, but I'm excited because I've, you know, read over the table of contents. I ordered the book on Sunday. I got it by Tuesday. And I had found some pages online on Google Read. So I had already kind of started the intro. And, of course, this book is Afrocentric. So, however, we're all sacred women, but just so that you know, this is Afrocentric. So I'm not sure if I'm sure it's for everyone. I don't know how comfortable everyone would feel using it. But anyway, that's not for me to speculate. Everyone has the right to choose. Okay. But there's path working material in this book. So I'm excited about that, because the thing about path working is you have to be devoted. You have to be committed. You have to be committed, and generally that requires support. Okay? So, and that's any self-healing whether it's self-healing techniques or a circle, in this case the sacred circle, but all self-healing really does require commitment, discipline, because you will be modifying You have to, you basically, you're getting rid of things that no longer serve your highest good. Okay, so let's get back to the universal laws real quick. Because I was getting ready to get into frequency, but I hadn't gotten to universal law number three. So anyway, so universal law number two is everything is related. So, you know, if something exists on one plane, it exists on another. Okay, so it exists on all planes. Now, it exists does not mean it gets expressed, or it's allowed to express, or it's able to express. What does that mean? That means that, okay, let's just go to number three and it'll start explaining number two. Universal law number three is, of course, the law of vibration, which means that everything moves. Everything has a frequency. Everything resonates. Everything moves, vibrates. Nothing is still, not even God, okay? Nothing is still. Everything moves. Now, there are frequencies. Things resonate at different frequencies. Energies resonate at different frequencies. And that's the differences in the energies. Okay, so when energies come together, it has a lot to do with the frequencies and then their transformation. But okay, so when I said everything, you know, that if it exists on one level, it exists on another level, and it does. So here's a So negative things that we can express, we being humans, can express on our physical level, while they exist in a higher realm, they are unable to be expressed. And truthfully, they really don't exist because they can't exist at that level. But as that, if that energy was to lower itself into a lower density, so to speak, then it would become, I don't want to say it becomes alive, but it does become so that it is able to express itself. Okay, so things like fear, hate, all the negative things that exist on man's level because of duality, because of polarity, those negative items doesn't exist at the level where God resonates. Because they're not allowed to express themselves, so they're really not allowed to exist. Because if you exist, then you can express yourself. No, if you can express yourself, then you exist. It's not necessarily if you exist, you can express yourself. You exist, you are an expression of something, but not necessarily of yourself. But anyway, okay. So that's what I meant by things can exist. And when I say exist, I mean technically, just so you can understand conceptually, but it really can't because it can't vibrate at that level. It can't, I guess it can't exist at that level, so to speak. Anyway, but for man, it does. So that's why, truthfully, when you're honest with yourself, or as you get to know yourself, excuse me, you'll learn that all negative aspects of your being are man-made, are made either from you, by you, through you, but certainly on this level. Okay, so the devil doesn't exist in the higher realm. You know, the devil is not the opposite of God. The devil is the opposite. Well, I don't really want to, but the devil, so to speak, would be the opposite of our soul. You know, we give the devil so much credit because A, it doesn't exist, but B, all it is our own manifested fears or anxieties. Okay. So the devil doesn't exist. And if you insist upon having it exist in your life, then it is opposite to your highest soul being. Okay? So it is your bad to your optimum good, your highest good. So the devil is not the opposite of God, or Satan is not the opposite of God. Because remember, everything comes from God. Now, even our warped manifestations of evil or fear. And the only reason it comes from God is because it comes from us and we come from God. I mean, come on, people. It's not coming from God directly. Remember, we have the same creative capabilities as God. So we're manifesting our own reality. Okay. So when we get to law number four, it's the law of polarity, which means that everything is it has an opposite. Okay. Opposite and equal. So black and white, hot and cold, up and down, north and south, east and west, low and high, red and blue, dark and light, sun and moon. This duality, this polarity exists on man's level, humankind's level, okay? Polarity does not exist above universal law number four. It does not exist in the highest realm. See, laws 1, 2, and 3 are immutable because it applies to the highest realms. 4, 5, 6, and 7. Well, 4, 5, 6, and 7, they're really tailor-made for – well, I don't want to say they're tailor-made for humans. That's ignorant for me to say, because then that makes – that's like under the belief that the only life that exists in the world is God and Earth. And somehow I don't believe that to be true, even though I don't have evidence of otherwise. But I don't believe that to be true. But anyway, 4, 5, 6, and 7 do apply. Well, all of them apply to mankind. However, they are more so the system from the source by which we are subjected to. So, polarity, everything has an equal and opposite reaction or a polar opposite, okay? And this becomes valuable information when we start talking about, when we start energies. You know, mood swings, that's energy. We don't want to be one way or the other. We don't want to be an extreme. You don't want to be extremely hot or extremely cold. You would prefer to be warm. So, of course, in or the Buddhism, they call it the middle way or the middle path. So you want to stay centered, grounded. You know, it's not attractive or becoming to become angry or easily irritated. Now, you can be angry, but don't allow the emotion to drive your responses. Don't allow the emotion to drive your responses. So we have to learn, well, for me, because I'm a person who's very impulsive and pretty extreme. So I'm either doing a whole lot of something or a whole lot of nothing, or it appears to be a whole lot of nothing. And I say that because the whole lot of nothing usually involves a lot more ruminating and contemplation, but I just call it a whole lot of nothing, because for appearances, in terms of appearances, it doesn't look like I'm doing a whole lot. Okay, let's see. Okay, so I am going to play our new commercial. So just hang in there for a station break, and I will be back in 1 minute, 65 seconds.
You are listening to Heart Over Ego Radio, a network of shows offering healing and guidance for your beautiful journey. Tune in on Mondays for the Alchemy Sisters, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 Eastern. Tuesdays, tune in and tune up. Body Awareness and Self-Care, 11 Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. Wednesdays, One for All is Love, 1:30 Pacific, 4:30 p.m. Eastern. Thursdays, Unbound with Cynthia Martin, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 Eastern. Fridays, The Witching Hour with Greenwich Village and the Alchemy Sisters, 11 Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. And on Fridays, Rain Radio, 10 Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. Saturdays, Creating Heaven on Earth, 11 Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. And Sundays, Everyday Psychic Radio at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. This is the Heart Over Ego Radio Network.
Excellent. We are back. So I recall that I was given an example about how messaging and spirit works and being in tune, and this is important. So I was providing that example because I was saying that I wanted, you know, in my mind, none of this is escaped my mind. I was saying, reading about self-healing and wanting to start a community, and then 3-4 days later, I'm invited to actually lead a self-healing community, and I'm excited about that, of course. But I just want you to see, use this as an example of how you can make, you know, how you don't necessarily have to do anything. And that's what I was saying earlier. Some things will require no effort on your part, and then there are other things that will, you know, like getting, okay, so I wanted to start a self-help community. Well, I'm horrible when it comes to, initiating, getting started. So, of course, the universe knows me. It knows all of us. We are its creation. So with that in mind, okay, so now I'm invited. I've never turned anything down. I mean, I have, but generally if I'm invited, I always feel like that's certainly the universe talking to me, because I like to be in harmony. So, you know, that's my whole thing, is not necessarily emphasizing my own will, is more so just, you know, I mean, because there are things that I do want, but I really want to be in harmony. So if you want to be in harmony, then your will kind of has to take a back seat, because harmony is the flow of God. That's God's rhythm. You know, that's the universe, whether you want to say God, the universe, but it is the macro rhythm, okay? And I mean, now for the most part, you can certainly create, you can do your own thing, and it, you know, and the universe absorbs it all in. And if you're doing it for the betterment of the whole, that's even better. You'll attract other energy, and it will just keep moving in the right direction. But not, you know, everything doesn't necessarily have to be that way. So just the thought of wanting to start a self-help community. Now, of course, there will have to be some action on my part. But starting the process, it wasn't. You know, it was like, hey, this is what you asked for. Here it is. Now, there is, like I said, there is work on my part. But I don't look at it as work, because it's something that I want. It's something that I'm excited about. It's something that I'm looking forward to, and there is a support system. So this is where I was going earlier about path work and being on the spiritual path. You have to be committed, and you have to be accountable. Okay. So, and it's often difficult sometimes to hold yourself accountable, because if it's just you and yourself, and you and yourself say, you know, we can slide today, then you'll slide today, you know. It's like, so it's wonderful to have a support group. And when I say support group, you're supporting each other. So it's not everybody just supporting one person. It's not an intervention. But we're all supporting each other. We're all holding each other accountable. Okay. And And we're all moving in the same direction. We all want the same thing, which individually is an individual development, but the collective energy. And see, that's important too, is the collective consciousness. Because as it states in the Bible, if more than one of you gather together in my name, it, of course, the energy, the consciousness, the spirit is that much stronger, okay? But the real reason why I'm encouraged and excited about the sacred circle is because, like I said, staying on the path is similar to being on a diet, you know, and I'm not talking about the short-term diet, it's the lifestyle change one, you know, or the one in which you want to lose 100 pounds. You're not going to do that in a month. That's a process. And so is path working. And until you begin forming the habits, the ritualistic behavior, similar to brushing your teeth and bathing every day, your spiritual practice needs daily exercise. So, and part of this, you know, of course, is so we have a chat group, okay? We have a chat group so, you know, people can spit stuff out at any time, which is beautiful because I'm usually a morning person. So I'm, you know, 6 a.m., I'm up at 4 a.m., 4:30, 5 at the latest, and, you know, I'm meditating or ruminating or reading, but some sort of devotion to spiritual development. Okay, but generally it's several things. So the support groups help with keeping one another on track, help keeping one another accountable, because as we make changes or commit to make changes, we have to continue to follow through, and the changes won't be easy. So, but like negative thinking, negative language, anger, irritation, gossip, whatever negative characteristics, qualities, energies that do not serve your highest good needs to dissipate. So it needs to be extinguished, released, recycled. Because remember, energy can neither be created nor destroyed. It's merely recycled and transformed. And when we start thinking of things as just energy, not something good or bad, just like I was having a conversation not too long ago, but I've mentioned it on this show as well, that, you know, we chastise children for lying when actually they're being creative, but we don't look at it that way, and shame on us. Okay, when someone lies, it's them being creative. Now, for adults, you know, it's unacceptable. But when children begin to lie, see it. I mean, recognize it for what it really is at the root. At what it really is at the root is creativity. They're creating a story to fit a situation in their minds. Okay, so they have created something. It's not true. And we chastise children for lying, and as we should. However, don't look at it just one way. Yes, address the fact that, you know, not telling the truth is not a healthy thing. But then, by the same token, you being the parent, know that storytelling is a creative act, and harness that energy for your child to become more of a storyteller, but control the environment. Encourage him or her to tell stories. Tell lots of stories, verbally, or record them using their computer or their phone or write them if they feel comfortable with writing. But encourage that gift. The gift is storytelling. How it's applied is what we determine is good or bad. When storytelling becomes lying, it's bad. When it's entertaining, it's good. So you see what I'm saying here? Okay. All right. So, understand the gifts and recognize how things that work, that things can work for you as well as against you, and vice versa, no matter what it is. Another example, credit card. This has nothing to do with even emotions. A credit card can be used to purchase a beautiful gift for someone for their birthday or anniversary, or it can be used to jimmy inside somebody's door, break into their house, and steal all their personal belongings. Is the credit card evil? No. Only its application. And it's not even the application. It's the intention. It's the person using. Well, that's still application. But it's the intention. It's the application. So, is storytelling bad? No. It's the application. So remember that as we start making changes, as we transition from the old us to the new age of Aquarius us, okay, we certainly want to broaden our awareness. We want to expand our awareness. You know, everyone is awakening. You know, there is the grand awakening that's taking place as we move through the cusps of or the edge of the age of Aquarius. So there is, and there's a lot of change taking place in the world too. So even now, the same with the coronavirus, it can be, you can perceive it as something negative, or it can be perceived as something positive. And I know plenty of people be like, are you crazy? How can that be perceived as something positive? Well, on a physical level, the pandemic appears to be, you know, horrific. It's killing people. It's making people sick. It's, you know, it's not making people better. But on a spiritual level, the pandemic is not good nor bad. It just is. It's an act that shall come to pass. So it's an act that shall come to pass. People will die, and that's a part of the process. Now, I tread lightly because I know how sensitive folks are to things like death and dying, particularly when it involves their loved ones, and understandably so, because I would feel the exact same way. You know, people always ask me, you know, what do you say to someone? I don't tell people stuff about, you know, death is for the living when they just lost someone. That's the most ignorant thing you could ever say. That's insensitive, and I wouldn't do that. This, a lecture is different from consoling someone, okay? A discussion on subject material is vastly different from relating or empathizing or consoling another human being. So what I'm telling you is true. It's still truth, but it's not always appropriate, okay? So understand that difference. Just because it's true doesn't mean it's always appropriate. So ruminate on that, if you will. Excuse me. Okay, so we're at the point here where we're paying attention. We have our mind. I lost train of thought, so you have to forgive me. I know I would. Okay, so I was talking about the other universal laws earlier, and I'm not going to belabor that because I've spoken about universal laws, but it's just so that you can understand how they all tie together. It is the fabric or the matrix of our world, which is invisible to us, but our world is governed by laws. Okay, so there is the polarity. And remember, we are subjected to the law of polarity. It doesn't apply to the heavenly realm, so to speak, because there is no duality. Everything is one. Everything is all. Everything exists as it is. Okay. So now, shucks, I lost my train of thought again. Okay, so let's go to number five. So the law of rhythm. The law of rhythm is just everything has cycles, patterns. Nothing is random. That's what the law of rhythm is telling us. There's nothing that's random, happenstance, accident, coincidence. There is a rhythm. There is a pattern. There is a movement to everything. Okay. So even like, you know, our energy moves in a circular pattern. Okay. Almost all energy moves in a circular pattern. And everything, of course, and it has its own season or cycle or rhythm or nature. That's what the law of rhythm is about. Like we have four seasons on the planet Earth. In a day, we have 24 hours, which includes night and day, or the sun being out and the moon being out. There's a cycle. There's a pattern. There's 365 days in a year before it begins again. Now, it's interesting because, like, the Jewish calendar and other calendars, the Mayan calendar, was a circular or round calendar. Well, the Jewish calendar is. It's a circular calendar, because activities are circular. But we use the Gregorian calendar, and so we think time is just linear. And time isn't linear. There's a lot of overlay, and it's also time is a man-made construct too, because there is the universe is dynamic. So, you know, based on choices, outcomes are different, and all outcomes are possible. That's what's meant by all things are possible. Okay, because everything potentially exists. Like I said, if you can imagine it. It exists now. Whether or not you attract it to physically manifest is another story. But it exists because the fact that you've entertained it or created it or conceptualized it. So it exists. Okay. Six, law and cause and effect. Law and effect. Law and order. Cause and effect. The law of cause and effect. Most people are familiar with this one because karma comes from cause and effect. Karma is often thought of as the punishment as a result of previous behavior. But karma isn't necessarily bad. It's just the negative connotation that it has received over time, or we have allowed it to be defined as such. But so cause and effect is we think something, we do something, and there is a reaction or a consequence. Consequence means with a series of actions or with a series. So sequence is a series. Okay, con means with. So a consequence. So for every thought, action, idea, there is additional energy that follows it, whether you are cognizant of it or not. So, for example, just because you rob a store and get away with stealing, let's say, $10,000 worth of cash and merchandise, and in your mind, you have gotten away with it. You are home free, you know. blah, blah, blah. No one stopped you at the door, you know, whatever, whatever. You made it to your car. You made it to your getaway place. And it may be months, but in your mind, you got away with it. Now, all the while, there's other activity going on unbeknownst to you. Maybe there were video cameras. Maybe someone saw you and you didn't see them. And so what appears to be taking place behind the scenes is maybe an investigation. And maybe 6 months down the road, someone comes knocking at your door. Or maybe you get pulled over and there's a warrant out for your arrest and you didn't even know it. Okay. So my point is this, consequence. Consequence just means with sequences, with a series of activity or events, energy. Energy in motion. Okay. So, but the important thing about that is once you are cognizant of how manifestation, like how we create. And now when I'm talking about manifesting with the energy, the mind and the heart energy, that's manifesting our reality, but that's not the same as controlling our energy. Okay. So that's it's really like the simplest. It's like autopilot. It's like breathing. It's something that we can do and it happens automatically. We come equipped that way. Just like we come equipped to breathe. We come equipped with the power, the ability to create when we have a matching thought and feeling. But that's not the same as being the authority over your energy and actually proactively creating. Okay, there's a difference. The having the gift, the talent, the power is the same as a baby. We are born with it. Just like a baby is born with the ability to breathe. And a baby has that same ability too, that same talent. It just doesn't have the language skills to communicate about it, but the baby has the same talent, and it's manifesting its own reality through its own thoughts and feelings. And it probably does a better job because chances are it doesn't have the programming yet. Now, it does in the DNA, but until it's expressed, until it's triggered, you know, for the most part, a baby's just laying there. Whatever thoughts come to mind, that's why if it's hungry, it cries. And what happens? It gets fed. Hey, this stuff works. And it does work. But we don't know how to be the authority over our energy. And that's where path working comes in at. And that's why I'm excited about the sacred circle that the universe has so lovingly delivered to my path. Okay. Or maybe I attracted it. Either way, it doesn't matter. I asked for it. It's here. So I'm excited about that. Because the path work, the working, the path work is the most challenging. It is like being on a diet. You have to stick to your guns, the meditations, the affirmations, the changes in your soul, in personality, in ego, eliminating energies that no longer serve your higher good, negative energy, negative feelings, being irritated. We have to be more loving, forgiving, understanding. We have to be kind and considerate towards one another. And we can do this. We can do this. And we're expected to do it. We're in the age where we can do it. Anything is always possible. Everything is always possible. So the more people that are awakening, and as this awakening continues to unfold, we will continue to collect consciousness that are eager to not only to help themselves, but anyone who wishes to be helped and healed. Because that's the name of the game, folks. We are in this love together, just like the little public service announcements say about coronavirus. We are in this together. So as I was saying before, coronavirus can be seen from a spiritual level as a cleansing. So it wouldn't necessarily be perceived as a bad thing. In spirituality, energies, like I said, things don't die. Energies just fill their purpose and then they are recycled. Now, from a human perspective, yes, that looks like death. Okay. It looks like the end of an incarnation. And it is, but we just have to understand that it has served its purpose. You know, we have gotten so hung up on operating as a human, we fail to even grasp different perspectives, the spiritual perspective. And now, I've said this early on, though, when I was talking about coronavirus. I said, you know, if I was to contract it and to die, then I could accept that. I can accept that because it's not over. Because apparently that's the process, the path that I was supposed to take. Now, I just hope my family is equally as understanding. And they should be because this is not new information to them. Now, they may not understand it all, and they may not even want to hear it when somebody dies. Of course, and I don't say it when somebody dies. But what I'm saying is this isn't new news to them. So let's work on this mind, people. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. Anybody remember that commercial? Or this is your brain on drugs. Nah, that wasn't my favorite one. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. That one is good. So our mind is where the magic happens. That is our magic box. And we need to take charge of it. Not our ego, our spiritual self, our soul self. Sonia the soul, not Sonia the ego. Now, and I say this because it's, you know, it can be a switch turned on and off, but it may take work and it may take time. And that's what your support group or your sacred circle is all about, is keeping you committed, holding you accountable, keeping you on the path. Because it won't always be work. It won't always be difficult. As you release negative energies or energies that no longer serve you, you will feel your spiritual self rising, and it will get easier. And your negative or energies that no longer serve you will begin to fall away more naturally. But in the beginning, you have to grasp your reality and that you are committed to this path and you will be held accountable for the activities and the actions, for your own actions. So start by keeping a journal, if you don't already have one, so that you can see when you say things or think things or feel things, and then record when you feel like there's a response to it. As the example of the sacred circle that I had given earlier. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. So we'll be having our first sacred circle meeting this Sunday. So I will certainly share any thoughts or any, not personal information, but any highlights or relevant things that are noteworthy that would people on the self-healing path would certainly welcome and appreciate. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is all that I have for this fine hump day. I want you to have a great rest of the week. Remember, you are not alone. God is not only with you, but in you and love you and is filled with you. Until next Wednesday, I love you and take care. Goodbye.